As I said a couple times, Epiphany is a much older feast in the church year than Christmas. And Epiphany was extended over three Sundays. The meaning of Epiphany, of course, was the appearance of this man who revealed what it was to be a real human being and who God was. So that double revelation is what the early church saw, and above all in the birth of Jesus, and why Epiphany was so important. And the three Sundays, first of all, had the visit of the Magi, which, as I said last week, was this little theological fable that Matthew created, and then, of course, the baptismal scene itself, where we have, again, more theologizing, this voice from heaven. Or in Luke's gospel, we even have a real pigeon coming down and sitting on Jesus' head. That didn't happen. Historically, that didn't happen. What those writers are trying to say is to manifest their belief after the resurrection, after they came to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, that this is who he really was, the great manifestation of humanity and of God. And the third one, which we're not going to have anymore, although you see it reflected in some of the hymns that we sing, was the wedding at Cana. Everybody remembers that, the six water jars and the transformation of water into wine. That only appears in the Gospel of John. That miracle. And, of course, that, too, is a midrashic. That did not happen either. But what we're trying to deal with is what it meant for John to make up that little story. And it's pretty clearly, and there are go into all kinds of subtleties over this. But the upshot of that is that in Jesus we see the kind of pedestrian, quotidian water of human life turned into human life as wine, as rich and wonderful. So that's what that story is about. So these guys were very conscious of Jesus sort of expanding the whole Jewish thing to be the light of revelation of God to the nations. And so that's what that's about. So I meant to tell you before Mass for the music today, we're going to take this into three levels. So Jesus was a Jew, born a Jew in the Jewish country, and then all kinds of people have transmuted that into their own sensibility. So the most famous transmutation, of course, is that little Austrian folk tune. Jesus was the little Austrian folk singer, Silent Night. So in hearing Silent Night, you're not hearing Jewish chant. You know, you're hearing the pious Austrians reflect on that. And today, there's yet a that's taken a little further by a singing group called Take Six. There's a group of six black men. We're taking that little Austrian thing and moving it through the alembic of jazz, blues, and giving us yet a further expansion of this whole business of the incarnation of this little Jewish guy into every culture. So this is official, as things stand now, though. Today is the end of the Christmas season. And, of course, this is the one day of the year where people can be absolutely guaranteed a really elegant, wonderful language, because for the 31st time, I'm going to read the end of that wonderful poem play by W.H. Auden called For the Time Being. So this is, as you know already, a story about the birth of Jesus and is narrated, and the narrator has the last word, commenting on the event. Well, so that is that. Now we must dismantle the tree, putting the decorations back into their cardboard boxes, some of them broken, and carrying them up to the attic. The holly and the mistletoe must be taken down and burnt, and the children got ready for school. There are enough leftovers to do, warmed up, for the rest of the week. Not that we have much appetite having drunk such a lot, stayed up so late, attempted, quite unsuccessfully, to love all of our relatives, and in general grossly overestimated our powers. Once again, and as in previous years, we have seen the actual vision and failed to do more than entertain it as an agreeable possibility. Once again, we have sent him away, begging, though, to remain his disobedient servant, the promising child who cannot keep his word for long. The Christmas feast is already a fading memory, and already the mind begins to be vaguely aware of an unpleasant whiff of apprehension at the thought of Lent and Good Friday, which cannot, after all, now be very far off. But for the time being, here we all are, back in the moderate Aristotelian city of Darning and the 815, where Euclid's geometry and Newton's mechanics would account for our experience. And the kitchen table exists because I scrub it. Seems to have shrunk during the holidays. The streets are much narrower than we remembered. We'd forgotten the office was as depressing as this. To those who have seen the child, however dimly, however incredulously, the time being is, in a sense, the most trying time of all. For the innocent children who whispered so excitedly outside the locked door where they knew the presence to be grew up when it opened. Now, recollecting that moment, we can repress the joy, but the guilt remains conscious. Remembering the stable, where for once in our lives everything became a you, and nothing was an it. And craving the sensation, but ignoring the cause, we look round for something, no matter what, to inhibit our self-reflection. And the obvious thing for that purpose would be some great suffering. So once we met the Son, we are tempted ever after to pray to the Father, lead us into temptation and evil for our sake. They will come all right, don't worry. Probably in a form that we do not expect, and certainly with a force more dreadful than we can imagine. In the meantime, there are bills to be paid, machines to keep in repair, irregular verbs to learn, the time being to redeem from insignificance. The happy morning is over, the night of agony still to come. The time is noon, when the spirit must practice his scales of rejoicing without even a hostile audience. And the soul endure a silence that is neither for nor against her faith that God's will be done. That, in spite of all her prayers, God will cheat no one, not even the world of its triumph. He is the way. Follow him through the land of unlikeness. You will see rare beasts and have unique adventures. He is the truth. Seek him in the kingdom of anxiety. You'll come to a great city that has expected your return for years. He is the life. Love him in the world of the flesh. And at your marriage, all its occasions shall dance for joy.